The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Noon at the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome in just after 5 o'clock. No Rob today, celebrating his birthday. Happy 50th, you old bastard down in San Diego. Buckley with the day off as well, but the great Will Ortner in as always. In fact, this... tomorrow, Rob's still gone. Buckley's coming back. This may be the first time we've asked if you're available where you won't be available.
I had to say no to a couple people.
You get passed around at the fan. You are the fan bicycle. Everyone gets a ride.
No.
Will just Everyone gets a turn with the great Will Ortner.
No, what you're doing is despicable and disgusting. What happens is there's a bat signal, and it gets shown bright into the sky. And then, like the Caped Crusader I am, I come in and I save the day.
I believe Will, at this point, has hosted and produced every show possible.
Yeah.
On the fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with everybody. I've worked with everyone.
So you've done Sports Sunday, right?
Yep.
You've done both
sides of the glass there.
You've done Saturday.
Center
and Saint.
Yep, and I've done Ducks post games on Saturdays.
And have you done the baseball show?
I've done the baseball show was like the first show I did.
And you've done all three day parts.
I've done all three day parts and
you are the Bonnie
forms.
Blue of the fan.
No.
Everyone
Don't
has had
make
their
something
turn.
Beautiful disgusting. I am Batman, and they shine the light, and they say, please come save us, and then I come down, and I save the day. And unfortunately, even Batman has to get drunk at a concert from time to time, and so I will be gone Friday.
Listening to Nelly, you'll be drunk.
It's going to get hot in here.
It's going to be hot. It's going to be like in the 90 degrees, right?
Yes, and look, I know, it was a dilemma for me to tell you guys no, but I have to go see Nelly.
I don't know if I'd be willing to sit. Like, concerts are great. Love concerts. My favorite thing to do. And festivals are great. But I'll tell you what, man. 90-plus degrees. Is this in Pendleton?
Yeah, this Pendleton.
So it's going to be hot. Like, you're...
It's going to be very warm.
It's going to be very warm. And there's no shade. You're just going to be out in a field somewhere, right? Blanket style. Or are you going to be standing up? In your Daisy Duke cutoffs and some cowboy boots?
I don't have either of those. I'm in the market for cowboy boots.
Are you?
I'm going down south here soon.
I'm going to give a shameless plug to one of the great stores that have been around for like 90 years. Mm. Portland Outdoor Store, the two old guys that have run that thing for forever. Best country western store in Portland.
Okay, I'll go check them out because I need some boots. I need some halfway decent. I don't need anything special.
With some Daisy Dukes?
No, I'm not doing Daisy Dukes.
Will you please wear Daisy Dukes to the country show?
Have any. If anyone has some that fit me.
Get some jeans and just cut them, baby.
I only have two pairs of jeans, man. I got jeans on one week, and then I got jeans for the next one. Or I got, like, golf pants. Like, there's not a whole lot going on in the jeans department.
This is the new skinny Will Ortner.
These are the fat jeans.
Oh, see, you can just get rid of these then.
They're the medium jeans because fat jeans.
I want them cut. I will supply you.
Okay.
Is this like an entire weekend fest?
So we're heading down Friday morning because they do like, they shut down the city.
Yeah.
And then they do a bunch of drinking in the city on Friday night, and then Saturday night.
If you will cut a pair of Daisy Dukes with the pockets hanging out the bottom, I will supply all your liquor.
I will. Here's the thing. I'll wear them. There have been complaints about my shortness from people in my life. They take real exception.
You still wearing the long shorts?
No. I'm short guy.
Oh, okay.
I've gotten skinny, and I'd like to show off the ham hocks.
Yeah.
Show off the legs.
Yeah. I got a buddy of mine that wears like 4 inches. Yeah, he goes the short shorts.
It's an aggressive inseam.
It is an aggressive inseam. I'm a 7. I can't do the 5.
Ooh.
I won't do the 9 or the and 1 Ryan Cooley shorts. 7 is a nice middle ground for me. You get to 5, boy, it's like
I got a couple.
It's a lot of thigh for me.
I got a couple that are fives.
Yeah.
I got one that's it's like a four. I don't think I have any that are quite to the threes, but I will wear the Daisy Dukes with the pockets cut out for you. And here's the thing. I guarantee you down there, it'll be a big hit.
Absolutely.
I guarantee it'll be a big hit.
We need photographic evidence. You do that, and I will supply the liquor for this. Can you bring your own booze? Is your camping?
Both.
All right.
So, they like, because you got to, when you're in the events, you need to have liquor. But I will also have liquor for my campsite.
What you need to do is, like, the people that go into the festivals and they bury the liquor. That's the best. So people will go to, like, where they know the festival's going to be, and then they, like, dig buried treasure. And they'll like, bury a couple bottles of booze, and then they go into the festival and then dig them up.
I wonder if this will work, because it's in the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
That's where the Saturday night, like, music festival is. Like, do you think there's, like, a cowboy somewhere that has snuck in there and dug up some dirt and thrown it in, thrown it back over top?
It's like the most power move you can do. When you usurp concert liquor prices by bringing your own in, because you can't sneak in. Like maybe you could bring a flask or something, or what is it? You bring sunscreen. You empty out the sunscreen and you put a little liquor in that. But the idea of pre-dug ground liquor is just next level. I've never done it.
Very funny.
But I see it, like you see it all the time on, you know, people will post clips or whatever, and who knows what you can believe and what you can't, but I would like to believe that there's degenerates out there enough with a little pre-thought that just go over and do a little Andy Dufresne, do a little Shawshank, dig yourself a little hole, throw a couple bottles down there, cover it with dirt. I mean, I would assume no one's checking the fairgrounds.
I also don't think that they, like, are they really going to care? Like last year, me and my idiot buddies, like, at these campsites, what a lot of people will do is they will put up the inflatable kiddie pool.
Sure.
It's going to get warm and whatnot.
Yeah.
And my idiot buddies and I may or may not have decided to take drive-by dips as we were walking back and to the concert.
Yeah.
It was hot,
and
we thought it would be fun to take a dip. And the cops watched us run, potentially, to multiple different campsites and jump through the pools. And not only did the people there not care, the cops actually encouraged us to do so.
Should. Well, you got to take care of, you know, heat stroke, man. You got to cut yourself off.
So they might not love that you have liquor there or like have liquor hidden, but I don't think that they're like, are they really going to crack down on you?
I think they'll crack down if you're trying to bring it into the venue. Like if you're trying to bring it into the concert, they will frown upon that.
But what if it's already in?
Yeah. Interesting.
Or what if you had a drone and there was a delivery of sorts?
Oh my God. See, that's the other one. Yes. That may be even better.
Just
I'm trying to think.
Fly by.
Because I love going to festivals. There's one next week in Bend we may go down to.
Ooh, say hi to the little brother.
Yeah. I love a good music festival, and I was trying to think of what could be better than seeing someone dig up booze.
Mm-hmm.
The drone delivery, that's incredible. If I was in the middle of a crowd and a drone started hovering and just like a bottle of like Tully's came down, like all of a sudden you just got some JMO that's coming out
That'd
of it. It's descending
fantastic.
From above. Dude, that guy would instantly become my hero because at every festival you will see, I call them the festival all-stars.
Oh, yeah.
You will find two or three people that you look at and they will be the Bronny James of that concert. They will be the star attraction. You'll be like, oh, my God. Like, I don't know what you got going on over there, but I want to be a part of it.
Want to hang out
with
you.
And yes, a drone liquor from above, that would do it for me. That guy would instantly become my favorite person at that festival.
It's the ultimate power move, because how are you going to stop it? You would look silly as a police officer or a security guard trying to swat it down.
Yeah. Someone's saying, by the way, it's all OLCC laws. You can't bring in.
Yeah.
It's like if you try to go to a restaurant like with an outdoor, you know.
Yeah, seating, you can't bring your own liquor in because then
I'll see it where someone tries to roll up with like a beer bottle or whatever, and they do not. Yeah, you got to be real careful.
Low class move, though.
It is a low class
move. Because, like, again, obviously younger, I would never do that.
No.
Even at my dumbest and my youngest, still legal drinking ages, I would never have showed up to like an outdoor eating spot with my own bottle or tried to sneak it in there. However, when it costs me $20 to drink a tall boy,
it's tough.
I'm not opposed to bringing in.
No, I mean, you got to find ways around it. The concert-priced beer, especially for like a Michelob Ultra or something, you got to go through a lot of those things.
Ridiculous,
it's a tough go. There's a blown segment for you. We come back, we'll talk about the matchup of the century. $3,000 to sit courtside at a Summer League game, and it's going on right now. Why? I have no idea. Primetime when we come back here on The Fan.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome in. Doing some headlines here. Checking in on the Lakers-Mavericks game. People were paying $3,000 to sit near courtside for the Cooper Flagg v. Bronny James matchup. Bronny James still fascinates me to this day because I get the idea of wanting to see Cooper Flagg, right? Number one pick. Makes sense. Anytime there's the number one pick and he's viewed as a generational talent, people are going to show up. I'm assuming that, you know, I remember when we went down to see Greg Oden, like when they sent us down to Summer League to cover Greg Oden or Wemby, right? When Wemby played his first Summer League game, I get where that's your first look at him. So yeah. I understand the Cooper Flagg thing. For the life of me, I do not get how we're into year two of Bronny James and that's still a draw. Bronny James averaged 2 points a game last year and shot 31% from the field. And somehow Bronny James versus Cooper Flagg? Like, I would have loved to have known. And maybe we'll see it with game two. I don't know who Dallas is playing in their second Summer League game. Blazers, by the way, Summer League tomorrow, 5 o'clock. We get our first look at the Yonger. But if this wasn't Bronny James, if this was Cooper Flagg versus, let's go, Ace Bailey. Right? Let's say this is like the Utah Jazz. Is that still $3,000 to sit courtside to watch this? Or is this really half Cooper Flagg, half Bronny James?
No, I mean, ESPN's going to make it half and half. It's really not. I bet it's probably 75-25. Like, Bronny James, people find curious and people want to go and watch him. It's not quite
like the
Jake same
Paul
thing.
Effect?
Yeah, a little bit.
Jake Paul is one of the biggest draws in boxing, and he's not a boxer. But he's
ranked now. He is. I know where you're going, and I agree with you.
Well, but it's interesting.
But he is ranked.
We've entered a sideshow aspect of sports where you don't have to be good anymore. You just have to be a freak.
We've entered
that world that I would make the argument that Bronny James. From a general standpoint, maybe not the hardcore sports guy, Bronny James, I'll bet you gets more headlines. He's a top 10 NBA headline getter.
I don't know that he's quite top 10, but yes, he's in the ballpark of 15 for sure. Like people.
Bronny James was the biggest thing coming out of last year's NBA draft, and it wasn't even close.
But that was also a horrible draft with a lot of foreign players.
Bronny James is the biggest thing in the NBA Summer League, and outside of, again, the top 10. So, you know, you get Shea, you get Jokic, I'll give you Giannis.
Luka
certainly is up there. Bronny James still, anytime Bronny James made it into a Laker game, that was a main headline on ESPN. When's the last time Devin Booker, besides signing a $72.5 million a year contract, when's the last time Devin Booker was a headline on ESPN? I mean, Bronny James...
Well, but KD was the headline.
Bronny James gets clicks.
He does, and people care about him, and he's polarizing. And
$3,000 to see him play courtside against Cooper Flagg.
See, but again, I don't think that is all because of Bronny. Now, I do think he plays a role because people want to go and check it out. Like, I remember when the LSI was here, he played here in high school, and he was the main attraction, and his team wasn't even the best team that was in the area. I mean, they even outdrew the West Lynn team, and they had upset the Duncanville team.
I just think we are at a point where you don't have to be good. It's the you can be famous now for not having any real talent. You can be famous for the sake of being famous. And apparently with even athletes now, you can just be an attraction. You don't have to be good at your craft if you're interesting.
See, but I think his is different because there are other players that get a lot of clicks, get a lot of eyeballs, that I don't necessarily like. I think they care more about the outside stuff. Ben Simmons, I would throw into this. Ben Simmons hasn't been good in 5 years.
No.
But every single summer, he's going to release a video on X or on YouTube, and he's going to be making shots, and everyone's like, oh, Ben Simmons, he's finally figured it out. And give you a hint, he hasn't figured it out yet. Where, like, with Bronny, I don't necessarily blame a lot of this on him. Like, he's not in the media.
I don't blame Bronny at all.
Right. He's not in the media demanding the attention.
No, it's just that this is what we choose to cover. I mean,
because we care about it for whatever reason or another.
Yeah.
It's just because of his dad.
He moves the needle. People care. To where, again, the fact that someone's willing to spend $3,000 on a summer league game to see Cooper Flagg and Bronny James is fascinating. I said, to me, it's just kind of that Jake Paul effect. Now, tomorrow, we do get the Yong Bong. We get our guy, Yong Hansen, and he makes his summer league debut tomorrow. I saw they were getting on an airplane today. A bunch of people at PDX were kind of watching him go. I didn't realize they weren't going to fly the Blazers plane. They just had him on a commercial flight. Which is
ridiculous.
Yeah, if you were flying down to Vegas today, you were on an airplane with the Yonger. They, like, you can look it up. Like, there's a bunch of photos of people. Like, he was signing autographs and he was just cruising through. I would hope that they put him in first class. You imagine maybe an exit row. Maybe exit row might be better than first class. You imagine you're a 7'2 Chinese guy and you're getting on a Delta plane heading down to Vegas. Yeah, but he's walking through. And so he'll make his debut tomorrow. And Nemec sent me this, and I didn't realize this, but Yong played in the summer league last year. I guess he played, they did the...
Against, they were like
the California Classic.
Yeah, his team played against the American team.
Yeah, he played in the with China. So I guess China sent over some Chinese all-stars.
Because didn't Wembanyama do the same thing before his first
against,
year?
The Australians. Because the California Classic, today's the first day of actual summer league.
Right.
But they do the California Classic, so like the Lakers have already played a game, and so they play a handful of games outside of Vegas. But this is the start of summer league, so he actually played 3 games last year. Now, to be fair to the Yonger, it was with lesser competition. He was playing with a Chinese national team, but they played against the Kings, Hornets, and Spurs. And by the way, they got torched. They lost 101-50, 93-62, and 89-67. So, I don't know what you take out of someone. One, it was a year. He was 18, because he just turned 20. So he was 18, probably just turning 19. And he was playing with lesser talent. But in those 3 games, if you care to take a look, against the Kings, he had 8 points, 3 for 3 from the field, 2 for 3 from the free throw line, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, no steals, no blocks, 3 turnovers. The turnovers are going to be problematic. Against the Hornets, 12 points, 4 of 8 from the field, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, no steals, 1 block, 7 turnovers, 6 fouls. And then against the Spurs, and Wemby did not play in that, he had 6 points, went 0 for 5 from the field, 8 rebounds, no assists, no steals, no blocks, 4 turnovers, 4 fouls. So he had 11 turnovers in the 3 games, had some foul problems, but, he had 8, 12, and 6 points in the 3 games last year in the summer league. So believe it or not, tomorrow will not be his first summer league game.
So he should be a veteran, he should be used to the bright lights, and he should come in and dominate.
Well, he's by far the most interesting thing that the Blazers have, because they haven't really done anything. I mean, outside, when you look at the offseason, they brought in Jrue Holiday, which, whatever. And by the way, he's not going to play in the summer league.
That shocks me.
Yeah, and so like it doesn't look like Klingon's playing, Scoot's not playing, Sharp's not, none of those guys are playing.
Right.
So the summer league roster, I mean, the only one that anyone's going to care about watching is going to be Yong.
But can he do anything that you are going to watch there and just instantly fall in love with or hate? Like,
I don't know if you're going to fall in love with him, but I will say in Summer League and in the G League, I would hope that he looks impressive.
Yeah. I mean, did though too.
Well, and that's my thing. Looking impressive in the G League or looking impressive in Summer League doesn't mean squat, right? Mm. I mean, but if you struggle in those, we were told at the press conference that this is a guy they had watched for 2 years. They really liked him. And Chauncey said that they expected him to contribute this year. You got rid of DeAndre Ayton.
Right.
So unless you're counting on Robert Williams, he is your backup center. And this is a team that again, I was told by management and their head coach that they were planning on being a playoff team this year. So I would assume that he is going to play a role. And if he comes out in Summer League and comes out and looks completely lost, I'm not saying that you trash the guy, but I would hope that he doesn't look like a knock-kneed deer on roller skates that, you know, looks like he doesn't belong. I would hope that he comes out at Summer League and looks like a polished player that you took 16 overall in the draft. He's the only reason to watch the Summer League, and I will be watching. Like, he's an intriguing enough character for me that I will want to tune in. And will anyone have any sort of measured reaction? Probably not. Because if he comes out and scores 20, then he's the Chinese Jokic. And if he comes out and goes, you know, 1 for 8 and has 6 turnovers, mm-hmm. then we're going to do the he's a bum, which is ridiculous. There has to be a measured response. But I am interested in watching him play, and I would hope that that he shows well.
I just want a full stat sheet game. Because I want him to make mistakes. Like, there's a new kind of theory with like quarterback play that you want some interceptions thrown because it means guys are willing to take a chance.
Yeah,
and it means
that they're downfield.
Right. And it means that their coaches trust them, in 50-50 situations. And sometimes that's not always going to go your way.
Yeah.
I would like to see the Blazers use him in a spot where the offense runs through him and he can be at the high post. And if you are supposed to be, you know, Chinese Jokic, well, then show me some semblance of that skill set. It doesn't have to be perfect. In fact, it shouldn't be perfect right now, right? So show me that you have these attributes, but also don't be afraid to make a mistake because mistakes are good. Now's the time to make them.
Bottom line is, the Younger is here,
Catch
and it's
the
time for the Young Dynasty. That's what it's all about. At this point, I'm putting all my eggs in the Young Hansen basket. Let's go. Future MVP, Chinese Jokic.
Rookie of the Year ticket.
Rookie of the Year.
I got it.
Coming tomorrow, 5 o'clock. It's going to derail the entire show. At 5 o'clock, we're all going to have Young fever. Coming up next, it is good to be an NBA player because you are getting paid. Primetime here on The Fan. In the Ferrari or Jaguar,
switching four lanes with the top down, screaming out money in the bank. Bubble hard in the prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Mavericks up 19-17 with a vicious Summer League cockfight. More importantly, Bronny James with 5 big points and like 7 interviews. Every time he leaves the floor, they stick a microphone in his face.
Well, he's just such a good interview, man. Come on now. Face of the league.
He is the face of the league. Him and Angel Reese, right? Although that's a disservice to Angel Reese.
No, she's...
Angel Reese okay. is better than Bronny James, so...
She's not as good as she thinks she is, but she's better than
is. Than Bronny James.
Yes.
They're not as good as Chet Holmgren. They're not as good as Jalen Williams. They're not as good as Devin Booker because, dude, my guy's getting paid. Mm-hmm. If you have a choice between playing multi-sports... pick basketball, because on the heels of Shea Gildas-Alexander signing for $71.5 million for 4 years, and Chet Holmgren signing for $230 million, Jalen Williams signed for 4 years up to possibly $287 million, the Oklahoma City Thunder now have their big three locked up to the tune of $822 million. Dollars. That's guaranteed dollars that little market Oklahoma City has to pay to three players over the course of the next 4 years. Well,
they're already saying that Bennett might be having to sell the team. Like, he's not going to have enough to afford it.
Well, yeah, he's not a rich guy. When you look up his net worth outside of Oklahoma City, he's only worth a couple $100 million bucks.
Which Bum.
Is saying something. But when you give out guaranteed contracts, that money does have to go every year into escrow. Like, you have to come up with that cash, and that is a lot of cash. And then Devin Booker, he signed a 2-year extension, and while it's only for 2 years, it now becomes the most lucrative contract in NBA history per year. Devin Booker over the next 2 years will make an average of $72.5 million. And at the end of that, Devin Booker will become one of the 4 highest paid players in NBA history.
Well, and it's smart by him too, though, to do it this way, because he's going to have the opportunity to re-up for even more, because that salary cap just keeps going up and up
when
and
you
up.
Sign Matt, so when you sign a max extension, like with Devin Booker, it's a percentage of the cap.
Right.
So you can sign, you know, that's why when you see the deal, like Chet just signed for a flat amount. But like Jalen Williams, who's been in the league a little bit longer, Jalen Williams signed a max extension. By the way, Cooper Flag almost...
He just missed throwing that down.
Yeah, Cooper Flag took off from just inside the free throw line and almost just yammed one down on 3 guys. I got this on in the background, and I will say, I know it's summer league. Dude, Cooper Flag is impressive.
I love watching... What I don't understand about him, and like, when you watch Cooper Flag play, he is clearly the best player on the court.
Yes.
I don't think I've seen a single game of his. Now, to be fair, it was a couple high school games, Duke games, and now summer league basketball, where he has not been the best player on the court. Yet all the NBA like analysts and researchers, they all tell me that he'll never be the best player in the league. How is that possible? How does that compute? Well, I don't understand.
I guess my understanding when people talked about him was that he's not great at one thing, but he's good at everything.
Right.
Like, he's a better version of, like,
Tatum.
Again, we have to do a white guy comparison. So they said, like, Andre Kirilenko, that he's not a guy that's ever going to score 30 a night. He's not a guy that's ever going to be a defensive player of the year. He's not Giannis, right? He's not a physical freak, but he's just an all-around great player.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I mean, you're dealing with a kid that was supposed to be a senior in high school last year.
Right.
I don't know what his ceiling is, but I'll tell you what, when you watched him at Duke, it was really impressive. And, you know, we're watching the summer league here in the background. And again, it's summer league. He's being guarded by Bronny James, for God's sakes. Bronny James, who's like 6'2". So let's not, you know, start giving out Hall of Fame awards to Cooper Flag anytime soon. But I think the idea of Cooper Flag being the best player in the league, I think that's where some people say the athleticism and the ceiling just isn't quite there. He's just not a freak at any one thing.
And I just don't understand that, because again, now it's different because Giannis grew and he put on weight, but anyone who saw Giannis coming out of Greece would have said that, hey, that kid is a project. And then he grew into being the best player ever. And, well, not ever, but best player in the NBA for a run.
And he won a title.
Right. He was the best player in the NBA for a run. Nikola Jokic, he was so irrelevant, they had a GD 5-layer burrito on the screen when he got drafted, right? So why couldn't Cooper Flag become the best player in the NBA? There's so much room still for him to grow.
I mean, he could. I mean,
they say he can't.
Well, again, you could say that no one thought that Jokic could be the best player in the NBA, and he's the best player in the NBA. No one knows. I think the idea is most of the time that you get the best player in the NBA. So if we want to go through and you want to say who's been the best player in the NBA over the last 35 years, right? You want to go with Jordan. You want to go with LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to say that Giannis had that crown for a little
Kobe
bit.
Kobe had a run, probably.
Yeah, if you wanted to throw out Kobe, whatever. Most of those guys. Mm-hmm. And by the way, winning an MVP doesn't make you the best. Steve Nash won 2 MVPs. Steve Nash wasn't the best player in the NBA.
SJ is not the best player in the NBA right now.
No, he's not, but he's an MVP.
Right.
And most of those guys have... and Shea was another guy. There's no way that anyone would have thought that Shea, when he was with the Clippers, would have been the best, you know, would have been an MVP. But there's an difference between being an MVP and being the best player. And when you're the best player, you usually have a freaky skill set. And I think some people just don't believe that Cooper Flag has a freaky skill set. But I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I watched Cooper Flag play high school basketball. I saw him play probably 3 games at Duke, and then I saw him play in the NCAA tournament, and now I've watched one quarter of a summer league game. I in no way am I going to make any sort of sweeping statement on Cooper Flag. Just not going to do it. But yeah, that does seem to be the, at least the, I don't know, the book out on him is that he can be a great player and can be like a winner, but will not be the best player in the league. Now watch him cram it down everyone's throat and be the best player in the league.
Yeah, I just, you know, because I've heard the same thing too. I'm not going to come up here and say that I watched a bunch. Like, I, one of the many times I got called in, I think there was a high school basketball game of his on. I watched a decent amount of Duke basketball because I gambled on a decent amount of Duke basketball. And every time I watched him, it was, that's the best guy on the court. Like, football doesn't do that. You'll see the best guy on the field, then everyone will go, oh, yeah, that guy's great.
Well, but here's the other one. Like, when you say best player in the league, you are talking about such rarefied air. Like,
right.
To think Kobe was never the best player in the league, and probably Giannis wasn't the best player in the league. That was still LeBron. Like, if you really want to say who's the best player in the league, you're probably talking about Kareem to Magic and Bird to Jordan, then probably to LeBron. And LeBron was the best player in the league for like 15 years. And then again, now maybe you could say Giannis for maybe 2 years.
Right.
And now we're probably on to Jokic.
Right.
So to say that you're one, and the same thing in the NFL, right? The best player in the NFL is Patrick Mahomes.
Agreed.
He's been the best player in the league for probably 6 years, and he's going to be the best player in the league. And before that, like, and the NFL is a little bit different because it's obviously, you know, you take positions outside of quarterback, but to be the best player in the league, baseball is the same way. I mean, you're really talking about usually guys that hold the mantle for somewhere between 6 to 10 years.
Yeah.
And so that's really, I wouldn't say anyone. If you ask me, could anyone be the best player in the league coming as a rookie? I'd probably say no. Wemby. Wemby had more hype than Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
And if you ask me, is Wemby going to become the best player in the league? I'd say no. He's a great defensive player, but to be the best player in the league?
Got to figure it out offensively.
Yeah, that's a whole other ballgame to be that. But I think it's interesting when you get guys like this that come in with this sort of hype, which is why college basketball needs to stick around. Because Wemby was such a freak, he didn't need it. But if Cooper Flagg was coming out of the G League, we wouldn't be talking about Cooper Flagg the same way.
If he's Luka.
Yes.
Like, remember, Luka was awesome coming out of Serbia, right?
Yeah, but
wherever.
You didn't think much. I think he's
Slovenia.
Slovenia,
sorry. But he was awesome, right?
Yeah.
Like, Wemby's such a freak because he's so tall.
Yeah.
But, when you have these foreign-born players that don't play college sports, if they're not freaky, you know, then we don't really know their names.
No.
It's why this draft people cared more about, I think, because most of the guys were American college players.
Yeah. And to bring it back to what we were talking about, we got derailed by hot Cooper Flagg, Bronny James.
Sorry.
Devin Booker, $72.5 million. By the way, the Phoenix Suns are going to absolutely stink, and yet he'll be making $72 million. They are saying that somewhere probably if the salary cap keeps increasing at the same level, the salary cap goes up as a percentage of league revenue.
Right.
That by the time Cooper Flagg or Wemby are starting to be eligible for their max extensions, they're saying in 4 to 5 years, we will have an NBA player making $100 million a year. So you think
That's
like,
awesome.
You think Devin Booker is like, oh my God, wait until Cooper Flagg or Wemby is making 100 mil. And maybe if it's Wemby or Cooper Flagg, people can, I don't think anyone will ever be worth that, but it's weird when Devin Booker, who's good, but does anyone think Devin Booker is the idea of Devin Booker being the highest paid player in NBA history? That sounds weird. If this was Durant back or Steph Curry or LeBron or someone like that, I think it would taste a little better going down. But the idea that Devin Booker is the highest paid player in the league, I think that will break some people. I think, especially when he plays for a crappy team that's going to win 25 games, I promise you that will be a top. People are going to drag Devin Booker next year. I mean, granted, he doesn't care. He's got $72 million and he's probably sleeping with Kylie Jenner or whoever he's making his rounds.
Kendall.
He won't care, but he will have a big giant bullseye. As they lose game after game and he's collecting $72 million, that will be...
He's got a shield, though.
Yeah.
his shield is Bradley Beal. You just hold the little guy out in front of you.
That guy's.
And people will be mad at him, I think.
That guy's fault. All right, we put a bow on this thing before we head into the club. Primetime rolls on here on The Fan.
It's time for a Ducks Report, the inside story on Oregon athletics, brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here.
Yeah, so Deuce Gerald's the 95th ranked player nationally, 6th ranked defensive lineman, 6'1", 270-pounder, has announced that he is down to Oregon, Michigan, Ole Miss, LSU, and Ohio State.
I love when guys make it. I'm down to my final 37. Did he make a post about it where he put all
of
the
course,
logos up there?
And he lets you know when he's going to make his decision, and that will be on August 2nd. So don't hold your breath, but like, be anticipatory.
The 95th best player in the country is. I'm down to 9 schools, and I will make my announcement, and then he'll put on one hat and throw it on the ground.
And then he won't actually sign anything for another couple months.
Well, if you get him, then the Ducks will tweet out a little, tweet out a little duck and come sit on a throne here and get a bunch of cool Nikes. Mods PDX Duck Report. Mods PDX, the future of building is here.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My current observation on the Cooper Flagg Summer League debut. He, 20 seconds into a game, looks like he's played for 7 hours and is exhausted.
He sweats a lot.
Yeah, and he just always looks disheveled because he's got that like little boy haircut, and he's kind of got, he's got some young skin, so he's got kind of the zits happening, and he's got like a greasy facial hair thing he's attempting, and he's got the undershirt, and it's always just, it's like drenched. He just looks like he stinks. He's the guy, like if you're in a pickup game, you don't want to guard that guy. You're like 2 minutes into the game. You're like, dude, you're dripping wet. Get away from me.
He sweats like a fat guy.
Yes.
He, like, you know what he looks like?
Every fat guy, every O-lineman, we've all, yes. If you've ever played one-on-one or you ever played, you know, rec ball with a teammate, Matt Johnson, I'm looking right at you. Matt was like 335 and his go-to move would be to take his shirt off and then no one could guard him because no one wanted to touch him.
I used to do that too.
If Cooper Flagg was hairy, he would be a nightmare to guard. His only saving grace is that he's smooth like a hairless cat.
Well, for now, he's young. He's got plenty of time. The back hair will grow later.
Every time I see that guy, he just looks disheveled. He's like, he's just, and I know he's got a great tank, but he just always looks exhausted. He's like, It's like he's just wheezing up and down the court.
He sweats like a fat young O-lineman. Like, he looks like if he put on 50 pounds, he would look like I did in high school. That's what he looks like.
You ever see, like, you feel 50, bad? Because, I don't run, shocker. I'll do some walking, but I don't run. And I know what I would look like if I was trying to run for, like, health. You ever see that person outside and they're jogging, and it just looks like they're on death's door? Like, they can barely stay upright. They're just kind of doing some weird shuffle. Their head's looking down because they can't hold their neck up. And they just have, like, they got some under-top sweat happening. It's just... And you just look at him, you're like, oh, my God, that's Cooper Flagg, yet the dude's, like, in phenomenal shape. It's so weird.
Have you ever seen the person also that just, like, powers through the run?
Oh, yeah.
There's a person at our gym that we go to, and they're loud on the treadmill, but they power through. Like, there's almost a smile on their face the entire time. Alpha of our gym. They run it with an iron fist. I have like been walking over to get a drink of water and that person's walked by me and been like, no, it's my turn. I've been like, yes, it is your turn. You can go and have the water. I will wait over here until you walk away so I can have that drink.
Yeah, someone pointed out Jokic is the same way. Always looks exhausted. Same thing. Jokic looks at any given time that he's about to collapse.
See, but he's fat.
But he's not fat. He's skinny. Fat. He's skinny fat. Now.
He's fluffy.
He's lost weight. He's lost fluffy. Weight, but he always looks exhausted. Cooper Flagg has Jokic face. It's Luka just that too. Flagg's skinnier. You imagine if Flagg had like, who is the little fat teammate that he had? Knipple. If Cooper Flagg had Knipple's body, oh my God. We'd murder him because he would then be Jokic. You'd be like, dude, this guy's going to go down. Because Flagg doesn't look like he's out of shape. he's just always sweaty and has that, like, he's sucking wind.
Could it be a white basketball player thing, though? Because Luka always looks exhausted.
Well,
Jokic
Luka is exhausted.
Cooper looks exhausted.
Well, Luka's in terror. Well,
like, Larry Bird always looks exhausted in the highlights.
Is it the white? Yeah, maybe it is a white guy.
Because, like, Colin Knipple, like, when he's running around, he's got a little bit of the, like, rosy cheeks thing going on.
Do the whites, do we condition worse? Do we show the pain on our face?
Do we look more tired? Because, like...
It's possible. Well, you've blown my mind with this.
Well,
I've never considered that it's white tired guy face.
Well, now, the only way to determine is we're going to have to watch WNBA games and figure out if it's like a white guy.
Does Caitlin Clark have this, too?
Like, I don't know.
I only know, like, two WNBA players, by the way. Who's the hot? Sophie Cunningham?
Sophie Cunningham. I almost bought her T-shirt.
Oh, my God.
It was vintage, dude. Yeah, it looks sweet.
Vintage.
Lexi Hole over there. Trace Leches, bro.
All right. We're going to have to do some monitoring. I need some people. We need our spies out there to keep an eye on white players and see if they all look exhausted.
Is it a white thing or is it just a white guy thing?
I just keep looking. Every time I look up, it just looks like Cooper Flagg's ready to go down. And then someone pointed out, I'm like, yeah, you're right. Jokic does the same thing. And Jokic has the fat guy shuffle, too. Jokic has that weird...
It's fat O-line shuffle.
Yeah.
Where you move your shoulders a bunch.
Yeah. It makes it look like you're running faster, but you're not really. You just kind of like slugging one foot in front of the other.
Ooh, this is a great text in. Is that why white guys always have high motors? Because they always look exhausted, but they're really not? So you're like, wow, look at them push through adversity.
It's like when Swag sighs a lot to make you think he's busy. He's like...
Lots of fast walking.
Yeah, this is why I don't... I refuse to run in public. Because I know what I'm going to look like.
Now, dude, I'm going to have to go run.
No.
I'm gonna wait. It's going to be even worse. I'm going to wait till after Pendleton when I'm all hungover and swollen and just sweating out booze. And I'll run, and I'll take a picture.
Because every now and then I'll think about it. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll go for a jog, and then I'll see that person on the like running, mm-hmm. and I'm like, nope, not gonna do
it. Look like they're about to die.
Yeah, I'm like, not me. Let's get on my little bike. I can pedal that bike forever. Just get on there and cruise around. It's way better for you.
No one's ever been tired on a bike.
Nah. Well, you can hide the bike. Although when you're going up a hill, that's awesome. That is kind of embarrassing. Like if you're going up a really steep incline and like someone's coming up in the car behind you, it's that same sort of look because you're going at like a half a mile an hour and you're pedaling all you can just to keep moving. That's the equivalent. You're like, ah, damn it. You know it looks bad. You're like, this isn't. I'm not cutting a good picture here.
I'm gonna have to report back. I will make people at Pendleton run. And see who looks the most tired.
Keep an eye on that, will you? Just gotta see where that goes. Check out the festival goers. Although it's a country fest in Pendleton, there's gonna be nothing but white.
I will have lots of subjects to choose from.
Look, I'm
for
just,
science.
Let's just call it what it is. Not gonna be a lot of diversity at your. Is this the Pendleton? What's it called?
The Pendleton Whiskey Fest.
I'm gonna place festival. The over under. How many people? We got a couple thousand and some change.
Probably.
I'm going to put the over-under of minorities, 6.5.
Nelly
and I mean any
there.
Minority.
Nelly will be there.
6.5. He doesn't count. He's a performer. We did this like when we went to like a, if you go to like a Creed show, like Creed played at the casino up there. And we were like, oh my God, this is the white. Train is another one. When you go see a band and it's white,
Train.
And I mean it is white. It's always good to like, hey, let's play the over-under game. And you say employees and musicians don't count. You keep 6.5. That's my over-under. That's going to be a crowd of like probably, what, 20, 30,000 people at a festival?
Probably.
Yeah, 6.5. And by the way, the safe bet, the under.
The under?
The under. You may get an Asian. You may get like one Asian.
You'd be surprised, I think.
Get a black guy, perhaps. No, I'm not going to be surprised.
There were more at the St. Paul Rodeo than I expected.
I don't think so. What, two? You expected one and you
saw
two? It
was over six.
You saw a couple, you're like, oh, hey.
It was over six.
Club 1080 when we come back.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.